إمام المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم افتح علينا فتوح العارفين، ووفقنا توفيق الصالحين، وانفعنا اللهم بالقرآن والذكر الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما يقربنا منك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت يا حي يا قيوم تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا سهلا. اللهم أعذنا من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، وأصلح لنا شأننا كله برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، I'm having a bit of a problem identifying where we are because the pages online don't seem to conform with. Yes, they do. Sorry, I'm on the wrong page simply. We are on page 239. Is that correct? Or was there something before that that we didn't finish? With the section that we did that starts on 333 point number 46. This one we did ومن أدب المريد أن لا يدخل على شيخه في ثلاثة مواضيع. Three occasions when the murid should not enter into the presence of the sheikh. And that is when he is eating and when he is Muhammad. Three things. الأول إذا كان يأكل when he's eating. الثاني إذا كان في موضع وحده if he's in a place where he's by himself. الثالث والثالث إذا ذهب إلى الخلاء if he goes to the private place. I'm not sure, did we finish the chapter? I think we finished it.
Yeah, we finished the chapter.
We finished it, okay. So then we're going to start on page 239. It's the first book. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد قال المصنف وهو الإمام الجليل العارف بالله الإمام الإمام محمد بن أحمد البوزيدي رضي الله تعالى عنه ونفعنا به وبكن في كتابه الآداب المرضية لسالك طريق الصوفية. فصل. اعلم أن الأدب وصف الروح قديم. وصف الروح. اعلم أن الأدب وصف الروح قديم، وسوء الأدب وصف النفس حادث. فإن ظهر فيك الأدب ظاهرا أو باطنا فاعلم أنك روحاني سماوي. وإن ظهر فيك سوء الأدب ظاهرا أو باطنا فاعلم أنك نفساني أرضي. Know that the adab is that the adab, I think this should be read as a badal, the adab, the attribute of the ruh, of the soul, is qadim, is pre-eternal. And lack of adab or su'ul adab is the characteristic of the nafs. And that is hadith, that is something that is not pre-eternal. Hadith is the opposite of قديم. قديم is something that has no beginning, and حادث is something that enters at some point of time to exist. فإن ظهر فيك, so if adab is becomes apparent on you outwardly or inwardly, then know that you are ruhani samawi, you are spiritual, you could say you are soul like or spirit like, samawi, heaven, heavenly. And if lack of adab or bad adab appears on you outwardly or inwardly, then know that you are nafsani, which is then opposite to ruhani. You are selfish or self-like, ardi, earthbound. ومن كمال ابن آدم أن يكون حسنه أرضيا. Of the one of the signs of perfection of the human being, of the son of Adam عليه السلام, is that أن يكون حسه أرضيا, is that his senses are أرضي, they are earthbound. لما كان هذا حال أبينا سيدنا آدم عليه السلام في الجنة وكانت الأنوار حاكمة على الأغيار, لا يعرف الأغيار ما هي وهي كامنة فيه, إذ هي من الكمال الكبير, أراد الله سبحانه أن يظهر كماله فيه بفضله وإحسانه, ويظهر من كماله كمالا كبيرا لا يعلم قدره سواه سبحانه, فسلط عليه إبليس حتى استخرج منه وصف البشرية أحب أم كره, فكان هي سبب في نزوله في عالم الأنوار من عالم الأنوار إلى عالم الأغيار. فلما اعتدل الأمر وكان ملكيا ملكوتيا في دفعة واحدة, فكان ملكيا ملكوتيا في دفعة واحدة, ولذلك كان خليفة الله لأجل جمعه بين الضدين. فكل من اعتدل من ذريته صار خليفة. So he's speaking about how Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was in al-Jannah and he was in a purely spiritual state until Allah wanted to open for him the opposite, which was the earthly state. So he's saying, رحمه الله تعالى, ومن كمال ابن آدم أن يكون حسه أرضية. It is part of his perfection that his senses are أرضية, they are earthly. ولمن كان هذا حال, ولما كان هذا حال أبناء آدم عليه السلام في الجنة وكانت الأنوار حاكمة على الأغيار. When this was not the case, أبينا, sorry, I was misreading. ولما كان هذا حال أبينا آدم عليه السلام في الجنة. In the Jannah, this was not the state of our father, سيدنا آدم عليه السلام. وكانت الأنوار حاكمة على الأغيار. In the Jannah, the lights were ruling over other than Allah, الأغيار. غير الأغيار means غير الله. لا يعرف الأغيار وهي كامنة فيه. He did not know what was other than Allah. So he didn't know what that was, and they were hidden in al-Jannah. إذ هي من الكمال الكبير. However, it is from the greatest perfection. Although they are from the greatest perfection, because the greatest perfection is a combination between the earthly and the heavenly, as we will see. أراد الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يظهر كماله فيه, and Allah سبحانه وتعالى wanted to make apparent His perfection in both aspects, بفضله وإحسانه, by His fadl and His goodwill. يظهر من كماله كمالا كبيرا لا يعلم قدره سواه سبحانه. So he wanted to make apparent from his perfection a great perfection that the value of which only he سبحانه وتعالى knew or knows. فسلط عليه إبليس, so he made Iblis overpower him, حتى استخرج منه وصف البشرية, until Iblis brought out of him the humanly attribute. أحب أم كره, whether he liked it or he disliked it. فكان هو السبب في نزوله من العالم عالم الأنوار إلى عالم الأغيار. So Iblis became the sabab, the means for him being brought down from Sina Adam alayhi salam, being brought down from the realm of the lights to the realm of other than Allah. So from the heavenly realm to the realm of the earth. فلما اعتدل الأمر وكان ملكيا ملكوتيا في دفعة واحدة. So then the things were brought into balance, the balance between the earthly and the heavenly. So he became at the same time Malaki, angel-like, and Malakuti. Let me see. Malaki, he is not angel-like. It's Malaki refers to the earthly domain, and Malakuti refers to the spiritual realm. So he was combining between these two. ولذلك كان خليفة الله لأجل جمعه بين الضدين. And this is how he became the Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, representative of Allah, because he had combined between these two opposites. فكل من اعتدل من ذريته صار خليفة. So whoever brings about this balance from his offspring will become a khalifa. It should be wakana mulkiyan, not malakiyan. Mulkiyan, wakana mulkiyan malakutiyan. Mulkiyan, mulk refers to the earth, the dominion of the earth, and Malakuti, Malakut refers to the two, and this is how he became the Khalif, and whoever realized was his offspring, they will also be a Khalifa. فإن قلت لما لم يكن الخليفة من الملائكة ولا من الجان, you might ask why was the Khalifa not taken from the angels or from the jinn? قلنا لأجل حكم الروحانية على الجسمانية في غير آدمي. This is because the روحانية is the non-material part. Ruhaniyati is taking the upper hand over al-jismaniya, about the bodily part, in other than the human being, because the angels are created from a light and the jinn are created from fire. So it's only Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam who was created from earthly matter. فالاعتدال خاص بالآدمي. So it's only the Adami, the offspring of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, who can attain this i'tidal, this balance between the spiritual and the material. ببركة مولانا وسيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. And this is through the barakah of our master سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. وعلم أن ظهور البشرية ليست هي من النقص إذ به ترقى هذا الآدمي إلى مقام لا يدركه أحد سواه في القرب منه سبحانه. I know that the appearance of the Bashariya, of the human nature, is not a deficiency. ليست هي من النقص. إذ به ترقى, because since due to this human nature, the Adami, the sons of Adam, are rising, ترقى, are being raised to the maqam, to a maqam that no other one will reach, a maqam of nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إنما نسبت إنما إنما نسبت إلى النقص من حيث الوقوف معها والاشتغال بها عن الله تعالى لأن هذا الآدمي أودع الله فيه من السر ما لم يودع ما لم يودع يودع ما لم يودعه في غيره. بشرية is only attributed to, or naqs, deficiency, is only attributed to human nature. In terms of people stopping at it, if you stop at it and get busy by your human nature, if your human nature makes you busy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in this human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has deposited a secret that He has not deposited in others, in other beings. أَوْدَعَ اللَّهُ فِي نَفْسِهِ الْحُبَّ الْكَبِيرِ وَالشَّوْقَ الْكَبِيرِ وَالْعِشْقَ الْقَبِيرِ وَالْجَمَالَ الْكَبِيرَ الَّذِي هُوَ فِي سَائِرِ الْأَشْيَاءِ فَإِذَا غَفَلَ عَنْ كَمَالِهِ صَارَ عَاشِقًا لِلْأَشْيَاءِ لِجَهْلِهِ بِقَدْرِهِ وَإِذَا اشْتَغَلَ بِكَمَالِهِ صَارَتْ الْأَشْيَاءُ عَاشِقَةً لَهُ. Allah has deposited in the nafs, in his nafs, as the nafs of the Adami, great love and great longing and great ishq. Ishq is stronger longing and great beauty. والجمال الكبير الذي هو في سائر الأشياء. And this is greater than what he has deposited in other things. So when, let me just read it again. أودع الله في نفسه الحب الكبير والشوق الكبير والعشق الكبير والجمال الكبير الذي هو في سائر الأشياء. I'm not quite sure about the sentence. I'm making a new attempt. He has deposited great love and great longing and great beauty, which is also in other thing, or which may also be towards other things. فإذا غفل عن كماله صار عاشقا للأشياء. So when the human being forgets or is heedless of his perfection, he starts longing for things. لجهله بقدره, because he ignores, he doesn't know, or he becomes ignorant or is ignorant of his own value. فإذا اشتغل بكماله صارت الأشياء عاشقا له. But if the human being busies himself with his or works upon his kamal, his perfection, then things will be longing for him. So rather than the human being running after things, the things will be running after him when he understands his own, or when he realizes his own perfection. And perfection, as we understood from the previous chapter, the perfection here, what is meant is this ability to i'tidal, to achieve this balance between the spiritual and the earthly. فإذا غفل عن كماله صار عاشقا للأشياء لجهله بقدره وإذا اشتغل بكماله صارت الأشياء عاشقة له. لا تشاهد فيه إلا جمال الله الكمال الكامل إلا جمال الله الكامل الذي أودعه فيه. So things will witness in this perfect human being the beauty of Allah's perfection, which He has deposited in this human being. ولهذا الجمال الكامل سجدت الملائكة عليهم السلام لهذا كان الخليفة من بني آدم عليه السلام والله أعلم وأحكم ولم يكن من غيرهم. And it was because of seeing this perfection, the perfection that pertains to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of seeing this realized in the human being, this is why the angels were doing sajda to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And because of this, that he became the khalifa of, وَلِهَذَا كَانَ خَلِيفَةٌ. And because of this, the khalifa came from the sons of Adam. And Allah is the one who knows better and who has better judgment. And he did not put the Khalifa in other than the human being or the sons of Adam. والخليفة لا يكون من ابن آدم إلا بعد البلوغ. وقيل بعد 40 سنة لأنه يكمل العقل والحب فيه ولا يكمل قبل ذلك إلا في الأنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام. And خلافة الخليفة can be in the sons of Sayyidina Adam عليه السلام, but only after reaching maturity, and some people say after reaching the age of 40 years, because it is only at that age that intelligence and love become perfect. And before that, they are only perfect in the prophets, alayhim salatu wassalam. The bulugh is the age of when the body becomes mature at the age of 15 or before that. And 40 years is mentioned as the maturity of the aql. So the body becomes mature at 15, but the intelligence, the senses don't become mature until the age of 40. والخليفة هو الذي لا يشغله الشرائع عن الحقائق. خليفة is the one who is not distracted from the realities, whom the Sharia does not distract from the realities. وَلَا الْحَقَائِقُ عَنِ الشَّرَائِعَ, and realities do not distract him from the Sharia. في دفعة واحدة, these two occur in at the same time. ولم تكن خلافة أبينا آدم عليه السلام حين أهبطه سبحانه وتعالى إلى الأرض بدليل قوله إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة, ولم يقل في السماء لأن السماء تجلي جماله سبحانه في غالب لأن السماء تجلي جماله سبحانه وتعالى فيه غالب على تجلي جلاله, والأرض تجلي جلاله فيها غالب على تجلي جماله. I think there's a word missing here, maybe. ولم تكن خلافة أبينا آدم عليه السلام حين أهبطه. I think there should be إلا somewhere. ولم تكن خليفة أبينا آدم عليه السلام. The Khilafah of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam took place only when he descended, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him to descend upon the earth. And this is proven by the ayah. Allah is saying subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed I'm making a khalifa on earth. And he didn't see he was making a khalifa in heaven. لم يقل في السماء. Because in heaven, his jamal, the jamal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is overpowering the tajalli, the appearance of his jamal is overpowering the appearance of his jalal. So in heaven, the jamal has the upper hand. وَالْأَرْضُ تَجَلِّي جَلَالِهِ فِيهِ غَالِبٌ عَلَى تَجَلِّي جَمَالِهِ. And on earth, the appearance or the manifestation of his jalal is taking the upper hand over the manifestation of his jamal. So what we are seeing, what has the upper hand, or what we are seeing on earth, is his jalal, is his majesty, his greatness, and in heavens, what they are seeing is the beauty. وَالْآدَمِيُّ بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and the son of Adam is between the earth and the heaven. وَذَلِكَ لِزِيَادَةِ كَمَالِهِ, and this is because of his increased perfection. وَأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ مَوْضُعُهُ الْأَرْضُ وَلَا السَّمَاءُ, his place is neither the earth nor the heaven. وَإِنَّمَا مَوْضُعُهُ عَالِمُ الْمَعَانِي الَّذِي أَحَاطَ بِسَائِرِ الْمَوْجُودَاتِ, rather his place is the realm of meanings, عَالَمُ الْمَعَانِي, which encompasses all the other created things. فَعَرِفْ قَدْرَكَ أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ, so know your value, O human being. وَلَا تَكُنْ عِنْدَكَ نِسْيَانٌ, and let there not be forgetfulness with you. وقل الله وقل الله 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 حتى تفنى من سائر العوالم وتتجلى لك في نفسك أسرار العالم فترى سائر الموجودات سرا من أسراره وذلك سر وذلك سر وذلك وذلك السر بعض من سرك فافهم. So say Allah, Allah, Allah until you go into fana, until you become absent from all the other realms, and in yourselves the secrets of the realm is manifested. Then you will see all the other created beings as a secret, as one of his secrets, one of the secrets of Allah. And this secret is part of your secret. So understand this. So the whole of creation is part of the secret of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this secret, now that you are in fana, is part of your secret. So understand this. وَلَا تَصِلْ هَذَا السِّرُّ إِلَّا بِالْأَدَبِ. And this secret is not obtained except by adab. وَالنَّفْسُ لِقُوتِهَا وَكَمَالِهَا لَا تَتَأَدَّبُ لِجَهْلِهَا بِخَالِقِهَا لِجَهْلِهَا بِخَالِقِهَا. And the nafs, afan liquwatiha, wal-nafsu liquwatiha wa kamaliha la tata'addabu lidahliha bi-khaliqiha. And the nafs, because of its strength and its perfection, does not take on adab because only because of its ignorance or its heedlessness of its creator. لأنها تشير لكمالها الأول تشير I have a few notes, but let's read it first. We can go back to the notes, inshallah. So the nafs, because of his strength and his perfection, speaking about the perfection of the nafs here, does not take on adab because it is oblivious of its creator. لأنها تشير لكمالها الأول وأنها تحكم بالله ولا لأنه تحكم بالله ولا يحكم عليها لأنه تحكم وأنها تحكم بالله ولا يحكم عليها ولم تدري أنها خارجة من العالم من عالم المعاني محجبة عن خالقها سبحانه بوصفها الأرض الحادث فيها بقدرته وإرادته لحكمة أرادها الحق سبحانه. The problem with the nafs is that it is in in its, I'll try to translate it, inshallah, first. لأنها تشير لكمالها الأول. The nafs is thinking that it is in its original kamal, in its original perfection, and that was the perfection that it was at the time of Alastu bi Rabbikum, before it was really anything that was material, anything that was created. وَأَنَّهَا تَحْكُمُ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا يُحْكَمُ عَلَيْهَا. And the nafs believes that it is still in that primordial state of perfection, and that when it makes a judgment, it is judging by Allah, and nothing else should judge over it. وَلَمْ تَدْرِي أَنَّهَا خَارِجَةً مِنْ عَالَمِ الْمَعَانِي. And it doesn't know that now it has gone out of this realm of meanings. It became a material thing, it went out of the realm of meanings. مُحَدَّبَةٌ عَنْ خَالِقِهِ. And now it is veiled from its creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala. بِوَصْفِهَا الْأَرْضُ الْحَادِثُ فِيهَا بِقُدْرَتِهِ. And it has the attribute of the earth, which is hadith in it, which is temporal in it, because of the by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by the power and will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the sifat that Allah creates with this sifat, with the qudra and the irada. لِحِكْمَةٍ أَرَادَهَا الْحَقُّ سُبْحَانَهُ. For a hikmah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. And what was that hikmah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have left Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam in paradise. He could have left all his offspring in that primordial form of existence, or non-existence if you want, in that primordial form of existence, without becoming material, and everything would have been perfect. But for there was a hikmah to all this. Why did he bring us out? Why did he bring down Sina Adam alayhi salam to the earth to be exposed to the other side of things? And why did he bring up the nafs to struggle to get back to where it was in the beginning? وَالْحِكْمَةُ الَّتِي أَرَادَهَا مِنْهَا سُبْحَانَهُ هي أن تشهد له بالوحدانية وتتأدب بكمال الأدب مع الألهية ولا تنسب لنفسه حولا ولا قوة وذلك هو شرفها. The hikmah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted was that the nafs should witness his وحدانية and maintain adab, maintain the most perfect adab to get in the divine presence without attributing to itself any strength or any power. And this is its sharaf. This is the honor, the honorable position of the nafs. وَقَدْ كَانَتْ قَبْلَ جهلها بالله في عالم المعاني متأدبة بكمال الأدب ولكن ذلك موضع القرب لا يظهر أدبها. And before that, the nafs, before its jahl, before its ignorance of Allah, or before its heedlessness, forgetfulness of Allah, the nafs was in the realm of the meanings, عَلَمِ الْمَعَانِي. That's the opposite of the realm of the material things. مُتَأَدَّبَةً بِكَمَالِ الْأَدَبِ, with the most beautiful adab. However, that was a position of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which its adab did not come out, it did not show itself. وَالْأَدَبُ يَظْهَرُ فِي مَوْدِعِ الْبُعَدِ, because adab comes out only in a place of distance, not in the place of closeness. وَهُوَ عَالَمُ الْحِسِّ, and the place of being far away is the realm of sensory things. So that's the عَالَمُ الْحِسِّ, the realm of sensory things, as opposed to Alamul Ma'ani, the realm of meanings. So Alamul Ma'ani is the opposite of Alamul His. عالم الحجاب. So the عالم of the sensory things is the realm of sensory things is the realm of حجاب. عالم الفرق, the realm of separatedness. وتجلي بها الحق, وتجلي بها الحق تعالى في صور كثيرة, وكل صورة منها قالت أنا. فلله الأمر من قبل ومن بعد, كيف يكون معرفتها إلا بفضله وإحسانه. ولذلك جعل الله وسائط لها في سبب معرفته وعبادته. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed himself to the nafs in many different images. And in every image, in every one of these images, the nafs said, Ana. To Allah belongs the order, al-amr, belongs decisions. Before and after. How can the ma'rifah, how can the gnosis of the nafs be except by the fadl and ihsan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made means, wasa'it, for it. He made means, and by this means, the nafs could reach ma'rifah and ibadah. So every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was manifesting himself to the nafs in some shape, then all the nafs was seeing was itself. It wasn't really seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was seeing itself. So this is why Allah gave it means to approach him. فمن عرفه معرفة العيان كان مقامه مقام الأدب. So who knows him with the knowledge of the eyes, that's meaning by مشاهدة, then his maqam is the maqam of adab. ومن عرفه معرفة البرهان كان مقامه مقام العبادة. And who knows him by knowing the proofs, his maqam is the maqam of ibadah. And we study the fiqh, we perform the ibadat, so that is the maqam of the, that is knowing him by burhan, by the proofs, and or by the proofs of the tenets of Islam. So our maqam then is ibadah. Burhan refers to the tenets of faith rather than to the fiqh itself. So whoever knows him by the proofs of the knowledge is proof, then his maqam is ibadah. Who knows him by witnesses, he doesn't need any proofs, his maqam is adab. فصاحب العبادة أدبه ظاهر غير باطن. The one who is in who is acting according to the knowledge of proofs, is the one who is doing the ibadah. His adab is outwardly and it is not inwardly. وصاحب العبودية أدبه ظاهر وباطن. But the one who has عبودية, his adab is outward and inward. لأنه عرف نفسه ومن عرف نفس لأنه عرف نفسه ومن عرف نفسه عرف ربه ومن عرف ربه فني في محبته ومن فني في محبته زال عن حوال عن حوله وقوته وتأدب معه سبحانه وتعالى بكمال الأدب. The one who knows himself So he says, the one who has ubudiya, is his adab will be inward and outward, because he knows himself, and whoever knows himself knows his Lord, and whoever knows his Lord will be dissolved in his love, he will be in fana with his love, and whoever is absent is faniya in his is dissolved in his love, he appears, he ceases, he stops having in his own power and ability ends, and he shows adab with him subhanahu wa ta'ala in the most perfect manner. What he means with adab, he has explained it on the previous side. The adab is to not attribute any power to oneself. So the one who has experienced Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has experienced his presence, who knows his Lord, he has experienced the fact that he doesn't have any power by himself, and this is the adab. فَتَعْدَبَ مَعَهُ سُبْحَانَهُ بِكَمَالِ الْأَدَبِ. So this is the most perfect adab. وَهَذِهِ عَلَامَةُ النَّفْسِ الرُّوحَنِيَّةِ الَّذِي تَخَلَّصَتْ مِنْ رُؤْيَةِ السِّوَاهِ وَلِذَلِكَ صَارَ الْأَدَبُ طَبَعُهَا. So this is the sign of the spiritual nafs, which has freed itself from seeing other than Allah, and because of that, its adab became its very nature. لِأَنَّ الْأَدَبَ قَدِيمٌ وَهُوَ وَصْفُ الرُّوحِ. Because adab is something pre-eternal; it is the attribute of the روح of the spirit. وما خرجت هذه الروح من الأدب إلا بسبب بعدها كما قلنا. And the only reason why this ruh went out of its adab was because of it being far away from Allah, as we explained it. وبسبب سوء وبسبب سوء أدبها سميت نفسا. And because of this absence or bad adab, it is called nafs. So what he's explaining is that the nafs and the ruha are actually the same thing. It's only that the nafs is the name that is given when it is in this in the veiled state, and ruh is the spiritual side of it. وَإِذَا رَجَعَتْ أَصْلِهَا سُمِيَتْ رُوحًا. And when it goes back to its asl, to its original state, then it's called ruh. وَهِيَ سِرُّ الْمَصُونُ الَّذِي لَمْ يَطَّلِعَ عَلَيْهِ أَحَدٌ سِوَاهُ. And this is a protected secret that no one except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has insight into. وأهل العلم بالله يشيرون إلى سرها ولا يصرحون إلا عند غلبة الحال. And the people who have knowledge of Allah are hinting at this secret of the nafs, and they don't shout it. They don't shout about it. I mean, they don't publicize it, except when their state is overpowered. وَذَلِكَ حَيَاءٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And this is out of haya, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِلَّا حَيْثُ قَالَ جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the ruh is something that pertains to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to your Lord. They ask him, يَسَأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّكَ. One of the questions that were asked. The ruh is something that pertains to your Lord. To my Lord. The ruh is something that pertains to my Lord. معناه والله أعلم لا يصرحون بحقيقتها لأنها من أسرار الألوهية. And the meaning of this is that they don't shout about it. That means they don't speak about it publicly, about the reality of the nafs, because it is one of the divine secret. وَكَشْفُ سِرِّ الْأُلَاهِيَّةِ كُفْرٌ. And to disclose the secrets, the divine secrets, is kufr, according to the ayah. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. What you have been given of knowledge is but a small, is but little. معناه والله أعلم ما علمت من علمها إلا قليلا بالنسبة لعلم الله بها. What you know of it is little compared to what Allah knows to it. ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. فصار الأدب قديما وسوء الأدب حديثا. So in this way, the adab is something that is pre-eternal, and the lack of adab or the bad adab is that is comes in with time. كما قلناه, as we mentioned. فالأدب قديم يتعلق بالروح. Since the pre-eternal adab is attached to the ruh, ويرجع إلى وصف الربوبية, and it goes back to the lordly attributes. The attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وسواء سوء الأدب حادث يتعلق بالنفس النفس ويرجع إلى وصف العبودية. And it is goes back to the attribute of عبودية. وإذا أراد الله أن ينصر عبده أمدا بوصف الروح. أمده. وإذا أراد الله أن ينصر عبده أمده بوصف الروح فيكون طبعه حسن الخلق مع كل مخلوق. And if Allah wants to support his servants, he will give him as madad, as resources, the attributes of the ruh. So he follows, فَيَكُونُ طَبَعُهَا. So his nature becomes to have good character with all the created things. وَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَخْدُلَ عَبْدَهُ أَمَدَّهُ بِوَصْفِ النَّفْسِ فَيَكُونُ طَبَعُهَا سُوءُ الْخُلُقِ مَعَ كُلِّ مَخْلُوقٍ. And if Allah wants to degrade one of his servants, then he provides him with the attributes of the nafs, so his nature becomes bad character with all the created things. والأدب كله من مشاهدة الحبيب. And all adab comes from witnessing the beloved one. The beloved one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وذلك كأصحاب الملك الدنيوية تراهم إذا شاهدوه تأدبوا معه قدر استطاعتهم. You can see this with those who have kingdom, who have worldly kingdom. You will see people when they are in front of the kings, they will show as much adab as they are able to. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْجُلُوسَ مَعَهُ وَذَلِكَ لِشِدَّةِ أَدَبِهِ. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْجُلُوسَ مَعَهُ وَذَلِكَ. So some want to sit with the king. وذلك لشدة أدبه. ومنهم تارة تبارد ومنهم تارة بتارة بحسب قربهم منه. So some want to sit in the presence of the king, And this is because they have a lot of adab, and there are others who wants to sit only once in a while, depending on the level of nearness they have with the king. وكذلك أهل حضرة الحق الذي هو مالك الملوك سبحانه وتعالى فهم أيضا بحسب قربهم منه. So it's the same thing with the people in the presence of الحق of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the king of all kings subhanahu wa ta'ala. So people will all also have adab in proportion to their nearness to him. وقرب أهل الله ينقسم إلى ثلاثة أقسام. And the nearness of the people of Allah can be divided into three categories. قرب الأنبياء كشهود الشمس بلا سحاب. The nearness of the prophets, and that is like witnessing the sun and there are no clouds, without any clouds. وقرب الأولياء كشهود الشمس في السحاب اللطيف. And the nearness of the awliya, and that is like witnessing the sun with some light clouds. وقرب الصالحين كشهود القمر في السحاب الكثيف. And the nearness of those of the salihin, of the righteous people, and that is like witnessing the moon, and there are thick or dense clouds. وفوق كل ذي علم عليم. And above everyone who has knowledge is somebody who has more knowledge. ومنتهى العلم إلى الله العظيم. And the utmost knowledge belongs to Allah subhanahu, to Allah the Great. I don't know, did the point hit home about the relationship between the ruh and the nafs? I think this is very central, and we had it somewhere in the beginning of the book, but then he comes back to this point now towards the end of the book.
Sheikha, I have a question.
Tafaddali.
I was just wondering in what state or was the nafs in when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was testing it with the cold and with the fire and then with the hunger? Because you said, for me, when you explained it, I thought like it was good first and then it became bad because it was veiled, or what is its first state?
The development of the nafs is that it was first like we were, every human being was at this stage where Sina Adam alayhi salam, where we were in his loins, in his backbone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took us out like something like DNA maybe or something. I don't know if it even had any material at that point. But he took us out as human beings and made us witness, and he asked each soul, am I not your Lord? And then each soul replied, yes, bala. So that means that in this our primordial stage, all we knew was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We didn't know any other thing. And Allah asked us, am I your Lord? And we said, yes. So this is the basis of the fitrah. And this is saying is also, this is the primordial kamil state before the nafs knew anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we were put back to the loins of Adam, and then the centuries passed by until we were... until that seed, or what you could say, became was put in the womb of a mother and materialized, and were born as human beings. So at that point, the nafs was equipped with a body, and it was confronted with other than Allah, and which was veiled from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it knew of this experience of having been in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is saying that this is because this is a reason even of the kibble of the nafs, because it thinks itself, like, I've seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't come with any rulings and things, like, I know what it is. Because that is the idea, that it may not be conscious, but that is the idea of the nafs, because it was experienced at that point. And this is why it is difficult to reign over the nafs, because it thinks, it doesn't understand that we are not in that stage anymore, where there's nothing than Allah to see or to know. And now we are surrounded by all kinds of veils that we don't even see. And the nafs is not aware, that doesn't understand that now it's a different condition. So I'm not quite, so this is the setup. So what is, I didn't quite understand your question. What was your question?
Yes, the question is, in what state were we born when he tested the nafs, or was it before, because it was being very stubborn and didn't want to say you, it said I and you?
Yeah, no, that is after being born. That is in this world, where the nafs is surrounded by all the world, and the dunya is overpowering it. It doesn't realize that it has to overcome the dunya to get to the point of departure. You can't get back, you have to get forward, you have to traverse this all these difficulties and break this hijab to get to where it was in the beginning.
Okay, shukran. I have another question that was about the that the human being is between the heavens and the earth. And what was the state you called it in? The between thing that we are in, because we didn't belong to
the is the balance, but we are equipped with his, we are equipped with sensory faculties. And the i'tidal is between the heavenly and the earthly, that is between the material and the spiritual. And if there's no earthly element, like the angels don't have any earthly element, and there can't be any i'tidal, there can't be any balance between two extremes when one extreme is missing. That was what he explained in the beginning.
What was manal? What is manal exactly?
Manal, i'tidal. I'tidal means balance.
No, you said something about mana, or I don't know. I don't remember.
Ma'ani is,
yes.
The ma'ani, that is the meanings, the abstract things, and that's as opposed to alamul his. His is sensory things, things you can touch, you can smell them, you can, like what the physical world.
I see. Okay, shukran.
Yeah, it's good to clarify the terms, that because that's what we basically, we may not understand this book, but we can try to understand the terms and terminology, so that when we come across other Sufi literature, then we'll be acquainted somehow to the terminology. Anyone else who wants to clarify something?
The concept of, you mentioned the state between both realms and knowing our worth, but then we're always told about the concept of in Sufism, where you are nothing.
The concept of what?
Of annihilation, and that we're nothing, and whereas you were mentioning earlier about the two realms and the human beings knowing our worth.
But I don't quite understand what you mean with we are nothing.
Well, like in the soft, you know, they would say, like, well, the whole concept of the soft, you want to reach the end goal, which is where you are nothing, and, you know, knowing that.
In the state of fana, you are nothing. And that's not because you want to be nothing, but because you simply are and incapable of being anything.
So this is not a contradiction? Or, I mean, no, this is
not a contradiction, but obviously you are something, but that the fana means that witnessing the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that completely overpowers you, that you cannot exist, and even physically it's not possible to exist in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you're witnessing his presence, it means that you don't exist. And that is, but that's just fact. It's not that we are trying to reduce ourselves to nothing. It is a state that Allah ta'ala gives, in which the human being in this world is able to witness him. But that means he has, like it was quoted in one of the tafsirs we were reading quite concretely. I think it was quoted from Abu Abbas al-Mursi. He says that you can only witness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by dying. And dying is in two ways, either the physical death or the death which we are talking about in this our knowledge, in the knowledge of tasawwuf. So the death in our knowledge of tasawwuf is like overcoming the nafs, so that the nafs is not able to contradict anymore. And the nafs is not, like it says, like the nafs, if Allah shows itself to the nafs, it will say ana. So the nafs has to be overcome so that it doesn't oppose it, come up with its ana, because as long as that ana is there, it's not possible to witness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once the soul is witnessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it cannot exist. So this is the second death, or the second type of death. The physical death and the spiritual death is the death in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's not that we are aspiring to the nothingness, like nirvana or something like that. That's not part of our thinking at all. That we'll exist, but we will not be, when we perceive Allah, we cannot perceive of ourselves at the same time. And that means that the nafs has gone. Because as long as the nafs are there, it will oppose, it will not allow, it will not want to disappear. And that will prevent us from witnessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hijab between us and Allah is this, in the nafs. وتلاشى القول
right, okay.
I don't know if it's clear, so there's no contradiction. No.
Right, okay. I think I'm sort of following it.
Yeah, I think right. There's a misunderstanding in your way of thinking, like about the nothingness. You're not aspiring to nothingness in the sense of what we are aspiring is to take our nafs along until it is kind of willing to give itself up, so that we can enter into the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the nafs is our hijab. We ourselves are our own hijab between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, there's another quote from the Shadili Masad also, that the distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a distance that you can traverse. It is only the nafs that stands between you and him.
Okay.
A comment or clarification. كشف المحبوب عن قلب الغطاء وتدلى دهرة مني إلي ودلى عني حجابا كنته وتلاشى الكون يا صاحي لدي وترى الأشياء شيئا واحدا وترى الوحيد وترا دون شيء هذه أنوار سلم ما قد بدات فلسلب العقل يا صاحي تحوي فطرف فالفتى من سلبته جملة لا الذي تسلبه شيئا فشاي فإذا الحسنى وإذا الحسن بعد فاسجد له فسجود شكر فرض يا أخاي. كشف المحجوب خشف المحبوب عن قلب الغطاء وتدلى دهرة مني إليه. The beloved one is revealed from to my heart which was covered, and he is showing himself openly from him to him. وجلى عني حجابا كنته وَجَلَى عَنِّي حِجَابًا كُنْتُهُ. And the hijab is falling down, the hijab that was I. كُنْتُ وَجَلَى عَنِّي وَجَلَى عَنِّي حِجَابًا كُنْتُهُ وَتَلَاشَ الْكَوْمُ يَا صَاحِي لَدَيْهِ. And the existence is torn into pieces, O drinking brother or companion. فترى الأشياء شيئا واحدا وترى الواحد وترا دون شيء. So you see things as if they were one, and one has to understand this. This is not that one sees things merging. Rather, one sees all the things are gone. So there's only one thing, that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَرَى الْوَاحِدَ وِطْرًا دُونَ شَيْءٍ. And you see the one alone without anything accompanying him. هَذِهِ أَنْوَارُ سَلْمَ قَدْ بَدَتْ. These are the lights of Selma which are lighting up. This is a secret of the Sufis that they are not shouting about. They're printing it in the books. I don't know if this book was ever written to be printed, but now it is printed and we are reading it. So, alhamdulillah. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam ma huwa ahlu. جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ما هو أهله. جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ما هو أهله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. والفاتحة على سادتنا خاصة سيدنا ومرشدنا كامل الشيخ محمد أبي الهدى اليعقوبي حفظه الله تعالى ونفعنا به وبكن. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. بارك الله فيكن أجمعات. So next time, inshallah, we'll start with point 47, inshallah ta'ala. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.